Will you pray with me as our children return to their seats? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel's in the Old Testament, just a few books past Joshua, where we've spent a few weeks. 1 Samuel 17. We'll read verses 12 through 25. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had eight sons. Jesse's three oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's three oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so that he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. And give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, too often this is a story that we consign to maybe children's Sunday school lessons. We teach them about David and Goliath in Sunday school. And every once in a while, David and Goliath may get mentioned in youth ministry. And even less frequently, the story may pop up in our adult Sunday school classes if that class is using material that follows the lectionary. But every March, we talk about David and Goliath during the college basketball national championship tournament. We talk about David's who these small schools that upset a larger, more prominent basketball school. But for many, David and Goliath is a myth. It's a legend. It's something that it's a nice story, but it didn't really happen. Too often we use it to show that if we just try hard enough, we can be victorious. But I think if we look at the story that way, we miss what the author was trying to tell us. There was a boy named David and a giant named Goliath, and David overcame Goliath. But I think there's a little more to the story beforehand. If we read today's passage, we read about David, and David is younger. We're not exactly sure how young he is, but the author, the way he writes, he's not a man yet. He's not able to go and be with the army. He's a young man, a boy, that dad still gets to boss around. He's not just a young boy, he's the youngest son. He's the one that mom and dad always calls to go get them a refill of their drink. He's the one that mom and dad calls into the room to get the remote that's just a few feet away. He's the one that mom and dad always send out to do the chores. Y'all feel that, younger children? You feel it? Y'all live it sometimes. David is the youngest. He's a boy. And then we see Goliath. And just before the passage that we read, we get a description of Goliath as this mighty warrior who is very battle-tested. He's somewhere between 6'9" and 9'9". It's not a small man. They talk about his armor, and just his chest protector is 125 pounds. They talk about his potent weapons, his javelin and his spear. And he has a shield bearer that carries a shield that is an assistant, that is a helper to this battle-tested man. Goliath, the mighty warrior, versus David, the vulnerable and insignificant. In college basketball, when we talk about David versus Goliath, I think we do this story a disservice. In March, or even in any time, I think any basketball team can have a great night and beat any other basketball team. And any great basketball team can have an off night and they can lose to any team. I think they at least have a shot. But David had no shot. Goliath was guaranteed a victory if someone would just step out and accept the challenge. The armies each morning got up, got ready, marched down to face each other, and waited. And eventually David would come to the front of the Philistine army, and he would make his desires known. He wanted to fight anyone and everyone that would come before him. In the passage before the one that we read this morning, Goliath stands and shouts a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he calls. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. A giant calling forth, "Someone come fight me." 40 days, morning and night, Goliath roars his insults at the people of God. He challenges the Israelite army. For 40 days, the armies wait. And it begins to tax the people. Families have to send provisions to their sons, to their fathers, to their grandfathers who are participating in the army. Provisions are wearing on families. And every day they heard these taunts, these insults, and they look at Goliath and say, "Look at him. We can't win." Most of us are facing some sort of a giant in our own lives. And we may be like the Israelite army, and we look at that giant that stands before us and we say, "Look at that problem. Look at that circumstance. Look at that thing that stands before me. I can't win." Our giants don't carry swords and shields, but they come armed with unemployment, with abandonment, with abuse, with depression. And our giants don't confront us in the Valley of Elah, but they confront us in our offices, in our bedrooms, in our classrooms. Our giants bring with them bills we can't pay, grades we can't make, people we can't please, addictions we can't resist, pornography we can't refuse, careers we can't escape, pasts we can't shake, and futures we can't face. "Look at my giant. I can't beat him." But David shows up to deliver rations to his brothers as well as to their commanding officer. David leaves the rations with the quartermaster, and he goes to the morning gathering of the armies to see his brothers, and he's asking his brothers how they're doing so that he can take a report back to dad. And then he hears Goliath: "Send someone out to face me." He hears the taunts, he hears the challenges, he hears the insults, and he watches as the well-armed army fears this man who stands before him. The Israelite army thinks, "What will happen if I go out there and I lose?" But David thinks differently. David says, "What will I get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? What's going to happen if I lose? What am I going to get if I win?" Now think with me for just a moment. What all has to go wrong for David to get his chance? He's not part of the army. He hasn't been training with the army. He doesn't have armor. He doesn't have a sword or a shield or a javelin or a spear. What in the world had to happen for David to get his chance? Was King Saul so fearful that no one would beat Goliath, that he said, "If someone's going to be sacrificed, let's sacrifice this young boy that doesn't know any better"? What all had to go wrong for David to get his chance? David, in asking about what's going to happen if someone beats this giant, embarrasses his older brothers. There he goes again. The youngest is trying to do something that the big kids are doing, and we know he can't, but the pesky little brother is still here. But David sees what others cannot. Everyone is looking at Goliath. Everyone is looking at this massive man that stands before them. David looks through the giant and remembers his God. David's faith had been built up in tending his father's sheep, day after day in the pasture, remembering the stories of those that had gone before David, learning the songs of their faith, spending time waiting for God to answer prayers, spending time with God working in him as he protected the sheep from the wolf and the lion and the bear. His faith had been built up in those times in the pastures, so that when he was ready to go on the battlefield, he was ready. David saw what others couldn't. Goliath issues a challenge: "I am the Philistine champion." And David says, "Who is this guy?" He doesn't give him the respect that everybody else was. "This guy's too big. This guy's too strong. This guy's too loud." But David remembered his God. David sees a worshiper of dead idols that had the audacity to mock, taunt, and insult the armies of the living God. We've seen our giants. We know them by the way they walk. We know them by the way that they talk. But is that all we see? Is that all we hear? Or in the midst of our giants coming to us, do we see through them to see our God on the other side? David's focus was on God. And he said, "Look, my God can beat my giant." If we kept reading, we would see that David rejected the king's armor and the king's weapons, settling for those weapons that he had honed over time with God in the pasture. When David faced Goliath, he didn't wait for Goliath to come charging towards him. David rushed out to meet his giant. When our giants come, do we often retreat out of fear of what this giant is going to do? Do we duck behind a desk of work? Do we crawl into situations that numb and distract us? do we find ourselves doing things we never thought we would or things we never thought we could just to try to hide from our giants. For a moment, it may work. For a day, for a year, we feel safe, we feel insulated, but at some point in time, the work will run out. The numbing agents of relationships and drugs and addictions and distractions will wear off, and we're left alone. And our giant's voice booms as loud as ever. But David rushed his giant, not with his own confidence, but with the confidence in the living God. What if we too rushed towards our giants? Giant of divorce, you're not going to tear up my home. Giant of depression, it may take a lifetime, but you will not conquer me. Giant of bigotry, child abuse, addictions, insecurity, you will no longer control me. Well, some of y'all have already jumped ahead, and Lou, David wasn't all that all the time. There were things that he did that he shouldn't have done. In fact, there's probably times when David was more like a giant in the lives of others than he was the man after God's own heart. Within his own family, there were lies, there were cover-ups, rape, abuse. But if we look at David's life, when David's life was focused on God, giants fell. When David's life was focused on himself, he fell. When David looked to God, he overcame. When David trusted himself, he was overcome. This morning I may have mentioned your giant. I may not have. But we all have giants in our lives. And two of the biggest giants in our lives are sin and death. And the good news is that Jesus took our place in front of these giants. Jesus rushed them and overcame them so that we don't have to deal with them ourselves. Jesus overcame sin and death. We couldn't overcome them with our weapons of choice. And many of our giants, we can't overcome with our weapons of choice. But Jesus overcomes them through those well-worked tools that He's used in our lives during our times in the pasture. Times of prayer, times of reading the Bible, times of questioning, well, what does this really mean? Allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us so that when we face our giants, we're ready for the battlefield. Speaking up and speaking out against our addictions and our sins may not be an easy thing. Speaking up and speaking out against our abusers may not be an easy or a quick thing. Overcoming our giants may take longer than a day or a week or even a year. But overcoming our giants is something God is wanting to do in our lives. This isn't a story we should just give to kids and think that it doesn't have anything to do with us. But may it be a reminder to us that God is using us in all sorts of situations. That He's training us in those pasture times to be prepared to face the giants on the battlefield. To overcome those giants and be who God created us to be. And the God who created us did not abandon us. He will not abandon us. And He is waiting to work in us and work through us to take down those giants that have prevented us from truly living. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, even now for some of us, our giants are speaking to us, telling us that we're not good enough, telling us the shame that we should feel, the embarrassment we need to express. Our giants are telling us that we're nothing, telling us we're not enough. But Father God, we know that You are enough. Help us to focus past the giants that are standing before us, to see you, who created all that there is, who came as Emmanuel, the with us God, to save and redeem us as your sons and daughters. Let us no longer live in fear of the giants before us, but allow us to rush towards you with confidence that you will overcome what stands in our way. Amen. Will you stand with me as we affirm our faith together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.